evening, and you're very welcome to this week's Global Village with me, Dilip Wickremesinghe. And for the next hour, we'll be bringing you to the core of the latest social justice and mental health stories by speaking to those who are affected by the issues in an effort to raise your awareness and, who knows, even inspire you to act now and be part of the change. On Global Village tonight, we hear how the Young Social Innovators of 2017 look at a way of creatively tackling social issues affecting them and their communities. And did you know over half of Irish mothers work during maternity leave, while 24% of women check their email and almost one in three take calls from work? Our text line here is 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. You can email us on globalvillage@newstalk.com, or you can join the conversation by following us on Twitter at globalvillagent. This week, my son Phoenix turned two, and we had a lovely Fireman Sam themed weekend last week where we visited the fantastic Dunleary Fire Station on Saturday and then had a big party on Sunday, which was attended by 30 adults and 25 kids. Who knew? Kids' parties could be so much fun and absolute mayhem as well. I'm still recovering, actually, a week later. Tonight, I actually want to take a moment to celebrate reaching a very important milestone, and that is the two-year mark of breastfeeding, also known as the Platinum Boobies Anniversary. It's so funny. Well, why this is such a significant milestone is because I'm one of the 2% of Irish mothers that are still breastfeeding after 12 months. As alarmingly, Ireland has one of the lowest rates of breastfeeding in the world. According to the World Health Organization, if every child was breastfed within an hour of birth, given only breast milk for their first 6 months of life and continued breastfeeding up to the age of 2 years, about 800,000 child lives would be saved every year. I can't begin to tell you what a huge achievement this has been for me personally, but like all journeys, it has had its ups and downs. We had a rough start. In fact, a very anxious start, as Phoenix had severe tongue tie that took two procedures to correct. I've endured innumerable blocked ducts, always on my right breast for some reason, that thankfully never progressed to mastitis thanks to my combination of homeopathy, massage, hot shower, hot water bottle, and inventive feeding styles approach, which even included feeding upside down to drain all the ducts equally. Well, for the most part, it's been great. But for the last 4 months, it has been particularly challenging, as I've had severe indigestion, heartburn, and more lately, lower back problems. I'm addressing all these with the help of a team of practitioners, and I'm really blessed to have a team of practitioners who are supporting me in my extended breastfeeding journey. But most importantly, I'm grateful to my wife, Anne-Marie, who has been my rock from the very beginning, and I can't wait to return the favour when she breastfeeds her little one in August. My ultimate goal is to keep going till Phoenix decides he wants to stop, and I want to tandem feed our second child, as this would just be the icing on the cake. And speaking of cake, to mark the occasion, I even got some cupcakes specially made. I'll post a picture up on the Global Village page, but basically, it's two cupcakes made to look like a pair of breasts wearing a white bra with the message, Booby Power, 2 years and counting. A big thank you to the ever-talented cupcake blokes for making my cupcakes. They did a great job making breasts out of cupcakes, despite being two very proud gay men. Well, I feel so proud, so blessed, and so grateful for my Booby Power. But if you are an expectant mum, listen to this. Please do your own research and make an informed choice of how you would like to feed your baby. And if you do decide to breastfeed, you will discover that it's a gift that just keeps on giving. Let's get tonight's conversation on Global Village started. Do text in to 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. Over 7,000 young people took part in Young Social Innovators 2017. These students look at a way of creatively tackling social issues affecting them and their communities. At this year's awards, almost 30 YSI teams were awarded for their outstanding achievements in tackling social issues through social innovation. Well, joining me on Global Village this evening is Idel Gallagher, Education and Communications Officer of Young Social Innovators, and two winners, Emma McPhillips, a student from Largy College, Clones in County Monaghan, and Ahita Edemudia, a student at St. Aidan's Community School, Tala, Dublin. You're all very welcome to Global Village.
Hi.
Now, at this stage, I say our listeners have heard what the Young Social Innovators are, because you know it's one of those projects that we absolutely adore here on Global Village. But just remind the listeners, what does YSI do?
Well, YSI is Ireland's largest youth-led social innovation program. So this year we had, as you said, over 7,000 young people involved. It was started back in 2001 by Sister Stan and Rachel Collier. And really they saw that...
Love them both.
yeah, they're amazing. Yeah. But really they saw that young people really could make a difference in their world, and they wanted to give them a platform to make a change in the world around them. So really social innovation is about being creative in developing solutions for the well-being for others. So YSI provides an opportunity for teams of young people to think about social issues that they care about and to do something about it.
And this is all through their kind of school and the curriculum.
That's right. We actually have two programs now. We have a senior program, which is for 15 to 18 year olds, and it's open to secondary schools and then also youth organisations and youth reaches. So, we've had over 400 teams involved in the senior program this year. But we also have just launched a junior program as well, because we saw that actually young social innovators can start at a younger age. So that's open to 12 to 15 year olds. We had our first Young Social Junior Awards this year.
So tell me about the projects, because I'm fascinated how every year I feel the YSI projects are getting kind of more daring by the year. Because initially I felt a lot of stuff were maybe around just development issues. But now they're tackling really thorny topics like porn and STDs and mental health, and are the young people today just getting braver?
Yeah, well, I think YSI is almost a screenshot of what's happening in society. We notice that different issues are tackled each year. So, for example, consent was a real popular topic this year, which is probably a reflection of what's happening out in society. But yeah, I think so. And I think credit needs to be given to our YSI guides, the teachers and educators that lead the team, because they have to be brave in supporting the social issues that young people care about. But yeah, I would agree with you that the issues are, they're always really interesting to see what comes in. And we don't know what will come in because it's youth led. It's really about choosing a social issue that you as a young person cares about, or you as your team, what they care about.
And I'd say that it's the adults usually who are kind of like a little bit awkward and embarrassed about, oh God, are we really going to talk about porn? Okay.
And I mean, we provide support. We provide support often to teachers as well as young people. But yes, but that's why, it's fantastic to see. It's fantastic to see the social issues that come through each year. Yeah,
and let's talk about the award ceremony. It was just the last week. How was that?
Fantastic. It was brilliant. It was in the convention centre. So we had a beautiful sunny day. We had over 800 young people there. We saw presentations from our 11 challenge winners. And then we had additional awards. I mentioned the junior awards. But it was a really amazing day. I felt so many different emotions watching each team presented for 3 minutes. And then they answered questions and answers from the judges. So I was just amazed by the standard of projects.
How many people were in attendance?
There was over 800 people there. 800. Yeah.
Okay. So a 3-minute presentation. Right. So how did you guys get on? So first of all, Emer McPhillips, student at Largie College. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Let's start with your project. Tell us about your project.
Well, our project was about mental health, and it was called Mend a Mind. It's a disorder, not a decision. And we chose mental health because it was a problem that we felt was quite prevalent in our area, because many people in our school and in our community had struggled with their own mental health. And we just really wanted to make it more acceptable for people to talk out about their mental health. So we wanted to have a lot of different activities in our community and get everyone involved in breaking the stigma around mental health. So we had a flash mob in December with the help of a dance teacher.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Great fun.
Yeah. We did different videos, short films, where we wanted to get the issue of mental health out there using different ways of advertising it. So some of those have reached over 27,000 views on Facebook. So that's
incredible.
Yeah, we're really reaching loads of people with our message.
Yeah, and of course, this is all happening in the backdrop of the month of May, which is, of course, the Green Ribbon.
Yeah, which is the Green Ribbon.
And you're wearing your Green Ribbon proudly. And tell me, when you initially thought of doing a project about mental health, when you went home and told your family and friends, you know, what was the response like?
Well, the response was, everyone that I talked to was really supportive of it. They all thought it was something that we really needed to get talking about.
Oh, but that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. And you did the presentation.
We did the presentation.
How was it?
Was it really nerve-wracking? But it was an amazing
feeling. 800 people. How'd you do it?
Lots of practice.
Very good. Now, even I should be used to public speaking, but the thought of speaking in front of 800 people, there's something about the convention centre as well, which is pretty, it's pretty daunting, isn't it? But no bother to you. Brilliant. So Ihita Ademudia, student of St. Aidan's Community School in Tala, joins us as well. And of course, your project is the Intercultural Book Exchange. Tell me about that.
Well, thank you for having me. And it was basically just about involving everyone, because our school is a very diverse school with different nationalities, and you go into the library, and we live in Ireland, I know that, and we speak English as our principal language, but you see people in our classes in our school, and there's even a boy in my class who English is his third language, and you go into the library and you see all the books are in English, like they don't really feel welcome, if you get me, and it wasn't really like a homely environment, because they can't really relate. They can't relate to that person that speaks English if they speak Hindi, or if they speak French, or if they speak Afrikaans, or if they speak another language. They may be able to understand it, but there's just something about reading in your own language. And I love reading, and I just felt like depriving someone of being able to do that was just wrong. And we just wanted to reach out, because there's a diversity. And I'm Nigerian, but I speak English. But my friend, she's Ivorian. English is not her first language. And then there's other people I know. And I'm just like, I want them to be able to feel like Ireland, yes, it is in Europe. It's predominantly Caucasian. But this is also our home as well.
It makes a lot of sense. Because just last week here on Global Village, we featured a program called Mother Tongues, which talks about the importance of creating a bilingual or multilingual society and how that actually benefits the development of a child's brain. So like we'd all stand to benefit if we embrace more than just one language. So what languages do you speak, Ihita?
I speak English.
Like 16 languages.
I wish. I speak English. I actually, because Nigeria has different tribal tongues, I can say like a few phrases, but I don't speak it fluently. And I'm learning French right now. And I actually love the French language and the culture. Like, it's my thing. I've been learning it since I was like 6. So I'm pretty good. I just have to keep working at it. But yeah.
It's a work in progress.
Yes.
And so how does the project actually work, the Intercultural Book Exchange?
Well, basically, we actually had like a mini intercultural day with Erasmus kids from the Erasmus program. So we had a Nigerian stand, an Ivorian stand, and all the other countries. And we basically just got it out there. There's different nationalities in our school to just raise awareness for that. We did a survey with the student council, which I'm a part of in my school. And we got all the nationalities, and there's like 12 in just fifth year. And then we now reached out to different kids and were like, okay, these are the children. They can speak English, but what about your parents in this community? And we're like, we want to include them. So we're like, we just said, can your parents speak this and this and this? And we got all the languages together. And then we went to our teachers and also the students, like, we want books in English to help them develop their English. But also we want books in French, books in Hindi, books in Afrikaans, books in Dutch, just multilingual books to just be able to reach out to them. And we got donations, and with the help of the YSIDM, we were able to get money to also purchase multilingual books. We're actually still in the process, because there's just a lot to get done.
That's amazing. Gosh, I tell you, Emer, this is just two of the projects, and it kind of really gives the flavour of the quality of projects that you got this year. Do you find every year it's getting harder and harder to pick them?
It is really, yeah. And actually, I did hear from people in the audience, lots of people mentioned on Thursday.
Can we just give everyone prizes?
I wish. It actually is difficult. It is difficult. And we know, I mean, we said a number of teams there on Thursday, but there were also amazing projects happening outside of the event on Thursday. We're really impressed with what's happening out there.
Well, the one thing about the Young Social Innovators, why I've just been, I adore this project. I don't know how long we've been featuring it on the show, at least for us. How long is YSI going
now? It's about 16 years. This is the 17th year of it.
As long as we've been on air here, which is nearly 10 years, we've been featuring the YSI. And I suppose why I love it so much is because it really creates a platform for young people to talk about, you know, serious issues. Because unfortunately, a lot of people are under the misconception that young people, you know, people like yourself, Emer and Ihita, that, you know, as you know, 16-year-old, how old are you?
16.
16, yeah. As 16-year-old, you know, all you care about is, One Direction. No, I can't even think of the latest. That's how out of touch I am at the moment. Harry Styles' new song is really good,
it's
though.
So good. It's so good.
And you're so cute.
Okay. Digress there for a second. But this is the thing. A lot of people think that's all you guys would think about. But in reality, you guys think about really serious stuff. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
What do you say to people who think, you know, young people don't care about important social justice issues such as mental health or integration?
Well, I mean, of course we can care about silly things, I guess, such as One Direction, but that doesn't mean that we don't care about important things, because these issues affect us just as much as they will adults. Because a lot of my friends and people I know have suffered with their own mental health, and it's something that I really feel passionately about, because I just want everyone to feel like they can talk about their own problems. And it's quite annoying when people just don't think that I care about these things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. It's annoying. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Ahita, how do you feel about that?
I think that they should give us more credit, because teens are more aware than they perceive us to be. And it's just like, we care about issues. Whether we choose to do something about them is a different matter entirely, but we are aware of stuff going on in the world. And if you give a teenager or simply a young person that opportunity to just voice out there and give their own opinions, because as much as we respect our elders, and they are in this world today, the decisions they make, they're going to affect us more than they affect them, because we are the ones that are going to live with the repercussions, because all that was happening in the past with global warming and everything, now it's our world that is being impacted. It's our lives and everything. And I think they should just give them an opportunity. Yes, there's silly teens out there, just lazy ones, but we shouldn't discount the fact that there's passionate, intelligent, hardworking, determinated ones out there as well.
Wow, Ahita, you're so wise. So
you.
Wise. And how old are you again?
15.
You're 15. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm always so filled with so much hope for our future, because I think as adults we can get a bit jaded. I mean, when you hear things of Brexit, you know, Donald Trump, all this stuff, you're going to think, you know, is there any point? Is the world going to get any better? But then you meet, you know, young ones like Ahita and Nima, and you think everything's going to be okay, isn't it?
Yeah. And I would say around March time, we have our Speak Out tour, which goes around the country. And if you want a hit of enthusiasm or energy, it's to go to one of those events, because you see, you know, 25 presentations. And young people have the awareness of what's going on. But as you said, I don't think they have... you know, that being battered down by, you know,
the cynicism.
The cynicism, that's the word. Yeah. That you have that, you know, we have to do something about this and we can make a difference. Yeah, really? So it is. It's really energising. Yeah.
Brilliant. So if people want to find out more about YSI, where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to our website, which is www.youngsocialinnovators.ie. Or feel free, they can call our Dublin office if they want to know more about our programmes.
Yeah. Because remember, the Young Social Innovators Awards will happen again next year.
Exactly. Yeah.
Get working. So my thanks to Adele Gallagher, who's the Education and Communications Officer with the Young Social Innovators, and of course two of the winners of this year's Young Social Innovators Awards, Emer McPhillips, a student at Largie College, Clones, County Monaghan, with their project Mend a Mind, It's a Disorder, Not a Decision. And of course the other winner is Ahita Ademudia, student at St. Aidan's Community School, Tala, Dublin 24, and their project is Intercultural Book Exchange. Thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.